Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. It is Thursday, the 19th of January, 2017. Hope your week has gone very well for you. We have a very full hour, as usual, on the Buckmaster Show. We'll spend the first half hour talking with Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie. Then we're going to be talking about this Vector Space Systems, which seems to be going full speed ahead. Their CEO and co-founder, Jim Cantrell, will be joining us at 12:30 today to talk about their economic development plan, and it looks very positive in that regard. So let's go right in now to our interview with Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie. Mr. Christie, Supervisor, how are you?
I'm terrific, and I'm glad to be here again. Thanks for having me.
So how has the, well, you're not quite into a month yet, but how are the first couple of weeks going for you?
They're going terrific. I love being supervisor. I'm just so honored and thrilled to be supervisor. I love it. I just love it.
Seems to be a good match then for you. What is it? What is it that is resonating with you so much?
I guess it's my deep love and ties and affection for Pima County and Tucson, and being in a position where I can make a difference and have a input in decisions and express visions of how I would like to help change Pima County and make Pima County better. It's kind of a lifelong avocation of being part of the community, and it's just a perfect venue for me. I can't say anything else other than that. I just love it. I absolutely love it.
What surprised you most about the job? Usually when you go into something for the first time, there's some things that are a little bit maybe surprising?
There really weren't too many surprises other than the fact that I have to say to my fellow board members how grateful I am for their welcoming to me as the new kid on the block. They've been very helpful with offers of showing me the ropes. They've embraced me and brought me in, really, I'm very grateful to what they've offered me and given me advice and counsel, and it's been a real help to me, and I'm very, very grateful for that. I have to also tell you, Bill, that one of the real surprises, not from my standpoint particularly, because I knew so during the election, was the great relationship that we forged between us, Supervisor Miller and myself. I'm just delighted and very honored to be serving with her. And, you know, I know this might come as a surprise to some folks in the media, but I have found personally that Supervisor Miller is not in any way, shape, or form the individual that's portrayed in the media. She is erudite. She's meticulously prepared. She has a vision for Pima County. And you folks in the media may not see it as much as I do, but she's got a terrific sense of humor. Mm. She has goals and plans, and I think my relationship with her is going to do nothing but bring positive elements to the board and to our county, and I'm very grateful for her reaching out to me and helping me and guiding me, and it's going to be a terrific relationship. It already is, and I'm excited about working with her, as well as the other members of the board, too, who have also been, as I said earlier, just very, very opening and gracious to me.
Is Allie Miller misunderstood, then? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
As far as I'm concerned, she is. You know, I can't speak to how her persona has been portrayed in various media circles, but I got to tell you from my own experience that she's an entirely different person, and that I believe Pima County is very lucky to have her on the board, and that with some support for me, which she is going to get, and from collaboration for me, which she's going to get, that there are going to be real opportunities for, I think, the board as a whole to move forward in a really positive direction. And I'm really excited about it, and I'm very grateful to Supervisor Miller.
How about Mr. Huckleberry, who will be my guest? He'll be seated in your chair tomorrow here on the show. You did vote against renewing his for a new four-year contract for him. Generally, though, do you believe he's doing a very good job?
Well, my my position has always been, and I expressed this to Mr. Huckleberry in person, that I've always felt that perhaps 20, 22 years in his position is long enough, and that a new county administrator, a new set of eyes, and a fresh slate and a good beginning would be very positive to the county. Mm-hmm. And I also believe that the taxpayers and my constituents, particularly in District 4, have a thirst for wanting to see some change. And I believe the most significant change, and I've always believed it, comes from the top, and that's County Administrator Huckleberry's position. He's a pro. He's been around for a long time. We had a good talk before I was sworn in about why I was going to vote against his renewal of his contract. It's also a campaign pledge that I am proud to say that I stuck by and maintained and followed through. He knows how to count votes. He had three votes. He knew those votes were going to be there going into that meeting, and he came away with the contract he requested, and he's going to be there for 4 years, barring something else that might interfere with that. So I always had a good relationship when I was on the State Transportation Board with him, and I'm certain there's going to be times when we'll be able to find some common ground and issues to work together for on certain topics. I'm very grateful to his being very generous and gracious to my coming in, I felt it was appropriate on many levels not to renew his contract, and it was renewed, and now we have to move forward.
All right, let's go to our live line right now. Tom has called us at 790-2040. Tom, you're with Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie. What is your question, please?
Supervisor Christie, what can be done about the amount of property taxes that we pay this year?
Okay.
Well, of course, at this particular point, it's going to come out with the assessor's office and what they come up with as a value. My goal and my perception to directly answer your question is that the property taxes have to be analyzed, and the budget is backed into property taxes, and that's been an historical method for setting a budget. What we do with that budget is going to be the subject of prioritization and debate and discussion. There really is no control when you have an elected county assessor setting the values of property. Hopefully what I'm looking at is that economic development will take place where everybody's property values will rise. And when that happens, we as a board can vote to decrease the assessed amount or the amount that you're charged. Because there hasn't been a decrease in a long time, I guess they just passed one recently. But the only way that I think that this is going to happen is when we start bustling and booming and making everything in Pima County more value-oriented as far as personal property, that at that point we can look at, is it necessary to maintain the percentage of property taxes that we charge? Now that values have risen, now might be the time to look very strenuously at the board level to reduce those taxes. So we'll have to see what the assessor says and take a good look at what the future brings. And if there's an opportunity where we see values raise and a reduction capability to be made by the board, then I'm all for it, and that's what I'm going to pursue.
All right, let's go back to the live line. Alex is with us at 790-2040. Hey, Alex.
Hi there. Mr. Buckmaster, thank you.
Oh, I didn't know. It is Alex Rodriguez, the man. How you doing?
Indeed. Enjoying the conversation very much.
Thank you.
And I'm proud to call Supervisor Christie my supervisor, as I'm now your constituent.
I'm honored to be your supervisor.
And so this is a great opportunity, I think, Supervisor Christie, to maybe share your perspective and where some near and midterm wins might be in terms of economic growth and economic development. Where do you see the bright spots, and what would you like to see happen for the region?
Well, we've seen some really strong positive developments in the county as far as attracting new corporations, and we know which ones they are and why they came here.
Yeah, one of them is Mr. Cantrell's group, which we'll be speaking with him, Vector Space Systems, at 12:30.
But I think, Alex, to your point and to your question, I sold cars for years, and I always believed, and it was kind of our mantra, that when you show your product, it's all in the presentation. And we have to work on our presentation to the community, to the state, to the region, and to the world, that Pima County is ready and open for business. And that comes from the leadership and the elected officials that really work towards making that perception available to the world and present to the world, that Pima County is looking to make ways happen, to reduce impediments of regulations, to reduce tax structures, and unfortunately, in some regards, the whole new paradigm of attracting corporations and businesses is to look at a tax incentive package or other packages of enticement to bring corporations in, because if we don't do it, believe me, as you know, Alex, they're doing it in other regions and in other states. So we have to be competitive, but we have to maintain a new image and a new persona that Pima County is ready, willing, and open for business. And we want to talk to everybody who's looking to start up businesses. We have to also nurture and protect our businesses here and protect them and keep them here. But to let the world know that Pima County has some new leadership, some new ideas, and we're proving it with bringing in major corporations, and we have to continue that trend. And it's, again, perception. We've had, as I know you know, a very negative perception about being anti-business, and that's going to change, and that's going to change as long as I'm supervisor.
All right. That was Alex Rodriguez, by the way. He's the Southern Arizona Director for the Arizona High Technology Council. Jim Kelly, I know you're on the line, but I do have to take a break. You will be first. If you can just stay with us, Jim, during the break, then we'll get right back to your question right after this on Buckmaster.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Friday for the Buckmaster Show. Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry will be our guest. Our Friday roundtable includes Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com, Matt Russell has Weekend Watch on Buckmaster AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Jim Kelly, our friend, is on the live line. Would like to speak with Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie. Sorry to keep you waiting there, Jim. Go ahead.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you very much. Steve, I remember in 2006 we had voted for an extra tax on ourselves for behavioral health, mental health, and substance abuse on demand. And now we've got the company that basically manages it for us, Sympatico, like cutting staff of La Frontera and all these kinds of things. Don't they have a legal obligation to provide us the services that are in the contract and that the law says was to be done?
Jim, you know, I have to be perfectly honest. I'm not familiar with all of that, and I quite frankly, back in 2006, the only tax that I was involved with or really remembered was the RTA tax. And I can't directly answer your question, but I certainly will look into it. I saw something in the paper regarding that as well, and I can't answer. I can't address that, and I'm sorry.
Jim,
okay.
Steve,
you gave me a project.
He gave him something to look into when he gets back downtown. Monsanto, that's of course a very controversial issue. The Monsanto greenhouse project. That vote will be coming up. In February, right?
Yeah, third week in February.
And again, clarification, we tried to clear this up also with your colleague Richard Elias, who was with us last Friday. Monsanto is not going to go away necessarily.
Yeah, Matt,
right? This is not a vote to decide whether or not they will be allowed in the basically in Pima County.
Many of the comments that have been sent to me from constituents and other interested folks are trying to stop Monsanto from coming, and that just ain't going to happen. They made a private transaction with a private property owner, and a deal was made to sell that property. So as far as trying to stop Monsanto, it's from ever being here, it's not in our purview on the board, and it's just not going to happen. The issue, of course, is granting them or supporting them with a foreign trade zone designation whose authority is derived from the state legislature, and which at that point, once it's granted, mandates that property taxes for Monsanto for a certain amount of time would be reduced. That's the driving vote. That's the only thing we're voting for at this particular time.
And some may say, why give them any break?
Yeah, well, yeah. That's what I'm looking right. into now, because with my car background, Monsanto's doing so well. Bayer wants to buy them for $57 billion with a B.
And be one of the biggest transactions actually ever.
So my question to myself is, it reminds me of a hot selling car and throwing a rebate at a hot selling car. Why do that? So I'm involved in a lot of discussion on the Monsanto issue, and
so you're still open.
I'm developing my position as we progress.
Okay, wastewater. What's going on with that? That vote was put off. What is at stake here? Can you boil this down?
The thing that I find somewhat troubling is that there's been very little public response. To this 4% increase that Pima County Wastewater is requesting, and it was put before the board as a matter of a yes or no vote, up or down. And I know they're not connected, but I have to use the analogy. I can't figure out my own water bill, much less grab my arms around the Pima County Wastewater Department, and I need to have an opportunity, in which I don't think the board historically has really utilized, which are things such as study sessions, where we can have presentations from the management of the wastewater department. We can listen to public comment. We can see charts and graphs and really, you know, dig deep and find out why we need to continually raise rates, not only with wastewater management, but it seems every other week we're getting hit with a rate increase by a numerous number of entities and public service groups, and it's just one more after the other, and we need to slow down and ask questions and deliberate. I asked for a study session. I got resistance to that, and it was kind of massaged into a public hearing, so I'm urging the public to participate in the public hearing at the next Board of Supervisors meeting, the first Tuesday in February. It'll be a public hearing, which will give everybody an opportunity to delve deep and get into the weeds into why wastewater management feels justified in asking for a 4% raise. I think, obviously, requesting raises is an easy way out rather than trying to find ways to cut taxes and cut costs. And as a businessman, the first thing I would always do is look at controlling costs, and I want to see what wastewater management plans to do exactly that. So please, the public needs to contact their supervisors about this and express an opinion, and better yet, come to the board meeting to listen to the public hearing and participate in it to see why, in fact, we really need to raise taxes, increase the tax again on wastewater management.
And we have, it's probably not too early to be talking about the budget, because the budget will be coming up in the spring.
Correct.
The hearings will begin. And generally, are you getting any kind of sense of how the county is doing fiscally?
Only by what our county administrator has said, as he says that the county is in sound financial condition, and I want to make sure that what he's saying is corroborated with the budget and what his plans are to produce a budget. And that's going to be, a telling example of what we can do to maybe look at the priorities of the budget, reduce taxes, reduce costs, reduce things that really are not effective in the management of the Pima County.
Have you met with the new sheriff?
I have, and he is terrific. I'm a huge supporter and fan of Mark Napier. He was just down in Green Valley with me this morning. He made a terrific presentation. I've had numerous meetings with him, quality time. He is articulate. He has had a strong, deep vision of what he wants to do as sheriff and how he wants to run that department. He's very clear on his goals, and he has executed the goals that he started out his campaign with beautifully. And we are so lucky to have a professional, articulate, educated, and experienced sheriff. And he's going to do great things in the sheriff's department and great things for Pima County. He even wants to get involved in economic development. How's that for a new and novel idea? Get the sheriff involved as a face of Pima County, for economic development. So I'm just thrilled with him, and he has my full support and confidence.
All right, Steve Christie. Tomorrow we'll talk more about the county. We will hear from Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. He'll be our Friday focus interview, so perhaps we can delve a little deeper into what his vision is for this upcoming budget. Mr. Christie, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Always a pleasure to be on your show, and I hope you have me back again.
We will. Thank you very much. Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, really the newest supervisor on the Pima County Board, the five-member board. Coming up next, we are going to talk a little bit more about economic development. Jim Cantrell is going to be with us. Mr. Cantrell, CEO and co-founder of Vector Space Systems. That's next. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See us soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and I'm afraid I live in a place where some of those scorpions get in the house, and I'm here to report one of the smartest calls I ever made was to my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? The only scorpion the Lehmans ever see is a dead one. Call.
We're Five Star Pest Control, and we know what bugs you.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 12:34 on this Thursday afternoon. This portion of our program brought to us by our friends over at Green Things. They do just such a great job. Jan and Jack, the owners over at 3384 East River Road, for all of your gardening needs, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out greenthingsaz.com. They have very popular free gardening workshops every Saturday and Sunday at 10. You can check out on the website who the speakers will be for this week. Well, created by the founders of SpaceX, which provides launch vehicles for NASA and commercial flights, Vector Space Systems will be producing right here in Tucson the first rocket built exclusively for microsatellite market. The company's manufacturing facilities and headquarters in Tucson is near the airport alongside Raytheon Missile Systems and Worldview Enterprises. Joining me in studio is Jim Cantrell. Jim is the CEO and co-founder of Vector Space Systems. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Bill, for having me.
Tell me about how this concept came about with Vector. How did all of this develop?
Well, it goes back many years. Actually, goes back to the early days of SpaceX when Elon called me out of the blue in 2001 wanting to do this Mars mission using Russian rockets. We ended up finding out the Russians couldn't build or wouldn't sell us the rocket, rather, and Elon decided to build his own rocket. So one of Vector's co-founders, John Garvey, and I had been helping Elon to put this whole mission together to Mars. And unbeknownst to me, John had been showing him rockets he'd been building in his garage, and that was what inspired Elon to have the idea, hey, we could build it ourselves. So we set out back in 2001 to do just that. And one of the things that we proposed to Elon to do was to start with a small rocket like Vector's producing now. Mm-hmm. And he thought it was too small. The market wasn't developed. He was right on at least the market side. And John was stubborn, and he didn't join SpaceX, and he went off into the desert for 15 years to build this rocket. And I joined SpaceX for a while and left after a bit. And we reconnected back about this time last year and decided that the market had evolved to the point where there really was a good, solid business case. In fact, there's such pent-up demand that it's been very easy to sell. So that's really where the idea came from. So we purchased John's company, formed Vector, and that's why we're getting a really running head start.
And did what role did, say, having Worldview and those people and their energy toward what they're going to be doing with Worldview and Raytheon, that synergy, how did that play into all of this, Jim?
No, it's all good for the ecosystem. You know, I had a personal hand in Worldview. It was on Paragon's board for, I think, a dozen years. Prior to Worldview, spinning out of Paragon, very familiar with what they were doing, worked with their investors, as a matter of fact. And, you know, Raytheon provides a huge, huge body of expertise, plus a workforce that, you know, you can't really find anywhere else in the world. It's very hard to go find somebody that understands how to mass manufacture complex weapon systems, which is really what our rockets are, even though we won't put bombs on them. They're satellites. They really are kind of the equivalent of a complex weapon system.
And they're very – when you talk about the microsatellite market, you're talking about as small as a loaf of bread, correct?
Yeah, so they go anywhere from literally the size of a quarter. Some people are building those. But the more practical ones are the size of a loaf of bread or the size of a laser printer. And they might weigh upwards of, you know, a couple hundred pounds.
And who would use this technology?
So most of it's commercial right now in the early adopter phase, and it's for Earth imaging with either radar or, you know, just light imaging, communication systems. To some extent, this new constellation of worldwide internet that OneWeb's putting up is not quite microsat, but they're close. So there's a lot of things you can do that affect our everyday life here. And the reality is that microtechnology that, you know, we find in our phones and our computers has finally started to find its way in space about a decade later.
So where's the launch facility going to be? Is it going to be here in Tucson?
No, we can't launch from Tucson. That would involve an overflight of populations, and that's pretty much forbidden. So we're really stuck launching from coastal sites and from launch sites that exist. So our first one's going to be Kodiak Island, Alaska, where there's a commercial launch range up there. And that allows us to go into polar orbit so that, you know, the satellites will go pole to pole and see the entire Earth. And then we also have a deal struck with Cape Canaveral down in Florida to use one of the pads there that's been abandoned by the military.
Yeah. The only problem with the bears of Kodiak Island,
yeah.
How are they going to like all these launches going on up there?
I'm told you're permitted to carry a weapon on the range.
Okay. So what are we talking about? I believe this is great for economic development, just with Raytheon and Worldview and you folks. What are we talking about translating this into jobs?
Yeah, so you know, we've gone on public record of saying, you know, we'll create probably at least 200 jobs here in Tucson. This is where the manufacturing center will be for the company. Some of our engineering staff and propulsion staff are out in Los Angeles, where they can be next to SpaceX and some of these other places of talent that we can borrow from. But majority of the center of gravity will be right here, and it'll be manufacturing kind of labor force. So, you know, the average salary I think we figured out was $75,000 a year. So it's a good paying base, combination engineering and manufacturing labor. So in my mind, it's a clean industry. We, you know, despite we're working with rockets, you know, none of the propellants are loaded here. Even if they were, it'd be just liquid oxygen and propylene, which both are non-toxic. But, you know, we don't create pollution. We don't have a big footprint. We'll maybe create a little noise when we test our rocket engines, but that's probably the biggest, side effect of our presence here will be, and hopefully we can create hundreds of millions of dollars pulsing through the local economy.
When will you be hiring people, and when will you be building the facility?
So we are hiring now, but it's, you know, since we're starting up, these things tend to go in phases by finance, so you know, we're financing the companies we go with venture capital. And so we go into these hiring phases every time we get a new round. We jump up the personnel.
Ramp it up.
We expect to ramp up sometime in late spring, early summer this year. We have concluded the lease with Pima County for the land out in the Air and Defense Park. And so we're right now working with the builders to get some bids in on the building. We think that's a 12 to 18 month process. Right now, we're putting together the rockets on 16th Street in our existing facilities that we converted from a race car engineering shop. So we had all the existing equipment and so on. That was another business I had prior to Vector.
Yeah, these things do tend to attract. I mean, you know a lot of people in the industry. There's a lot of cross-pollination. This is good in the future as far as attracting other businesses that are in this kind of
exactly.
Space environment.
Exactly. So Arizona is a big defense state. Most people don't know it. Senator McCain will tell you all about it. But it's not yet a big space state other than, you know, what U of A does. We'll be very, very public in this. And we hope to attract like-minded people. What we find here in Arizona, I've lived here for about 8 years. I find it to be a very fertile place for new business. You know, there's been some recent changes in the local politics that have helped. And I'm really, really pleased with the kind of support that we're getting out of the state government and the local government especially. So that kind of thing becomes very attractive to companies. It's hard to imagine a place where, and I'm not going to name names, where they don't want your business. And there are states that don't want you to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Arizona's not one of them. I mean, look how Ducey got Uber and their self-driving cars here. I applaud it openly when I heard that news. You know, that's what we want to do. We want to bring more of that Silicon Valley kind of industry here. And I think it's good for the economy. It's good for the culture. It's good for everything about Tucson. Tucson's a great place. It doesn't need to be a backwater. It can be a technology hub, and it will be.
Is there a lot of competition in the microsatellite market, or are you guys pretty much considered a pioneer?
So in the launch side of it, we are going to be one of the initial pioneers. And there's a company out of New Zealand called Rocket Lab that has a vehicle about four times as big. And my view is that they're a little too big to serve dedicated to the microsat community. So in that sense, we're all alone in being able to have an initial capability. There are a number of funded companies that are, you know, 5 and 10 years behind us. It's not something that happens overnight. And the only reason we did it overnight was because we purchased Garvey, who'd been doing it for 15 years in the desert, so to speak. Mm. And the rest of the guys are going to have to catch up to us.
Jim, how did you – I've only got about a minute, but I'm just fascinated about how you came to your interest in space. Where'd you grow up?
A little town called Yucaipa, California.
Okay.
Between Palm Springs and Los Angeles.
It's sort of a high desert area.
Yeah. Well, it's mountains.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
I grew up on a chicken farm, and nobody in my family is educated, and I decided to go to college.
Okay.
Pursuing mechanical engineering, and I wanted to go in the automotive industry.
Okay.
And I found a space poster in the hallway one day, and I took the class.
Did you start making rockets as a kid? Or?
Oh, I made all sorts of things that exploded and flew, and anything that went fast, I loved it.
Well, Jim Cantrell, good luck to you, and welcome to our community with Vector. And it sounds like all systems are go at this point, right?
Yep. We hope that continues every day.
Well, I'll get an update from you as we go along, Jim. I appreciate it.
Pleased to do it.
All right. Jim Cantrell, he's CEO, co-founder of Vector Space Systems. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're coming up now on 12:45 on this rather overcast Thursday. Portending a weekend of rain, right? We'll be right back. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program is presented by one of the most beautiful areas of the Southwest, and that's the southwest corner of New Mexico, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. One of our fine sponsors, a great weekend trip, really a nice little getaway. It's only about a three-hour drive over there, and so much to do, including Pinos Altos. What a neat little town. Used to be a very thriving area. It was now a mining ghost town, but it's been resurged. There's been a resurgence, and it's a great area. Check it out when you go over to Silver City and visit southwestnewmexico.org. The full listing, there are several dozen things to do on the website, suggestions, and alike many places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Mitch Tobin. Mitch is our Buckmaster Show contributor, and it's an honor to have people like Mitch. We have about two dozen contributors to this program. Their full bios listed on our website at buckmastershow.com. Mitch is an independent journalist and communications specialist in Denver, where he owns C2 Snow Consulting. He is a former award-winning reporter at the Tucson Citizen and the Arizona Daily Star, where he covered environmental border and other issues. He's the author of the book Endangered, Biodiversity on the Brink, which evaluates the effectiveness of the Endangered Species Act. That book received a gold medal in 2011 from the Independent Publisher Book Awards. Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. It's great to speak with you and to be back on the show.
You know, how was the snowpack up there? I saw some of your Facebook posts, and it looks like you were knee-deep in snow up in the Rockies.
Yeah, recently I was. The season started out pretty horribly here. There was practically no snow by around Thanksgiving, but over the next 6 weeks, we really got hammered. A couple of those atmospheric rivers that were hitting California also had an influence here, and so now the snowpack in Colorado is well above average, about 150% of normal this time of year. So that definitely made a lot of people up here happy, at least the people who are connected to the ski industry, that's for sure.
And we're hearing now the drought in Arizona, the areas that are in drought here have been vastly reduced. And over in California, the news is very good. This may be the winter that really ends the drought. Let's hope so.
Yeah, it's definitely had a big impact. I mean, some really impressive rainfall totals and snowfall in California and the Sierra. Some of these storms were pretty warm, which means that the snow level was fairly high, and so it fell as rain rather than snow, which isn't great from a water supply perspective. But really, across the West, it's been pretty wet over the last 6 weeks to 2 months, and you've seen a pretty dramatic reduction in the areas that are considered under drought. That said, you know, we could very easily go back into a drier period. It sounds like it'll be a little wet next week, but then after that, it's going to clear up. And so you never really know, but it's certainly been a big improvement and a rather sudden one.
Mitch, I want to talk with you a bit about this discussion about a border wall. CNN has been reporting that the Trump transition team has been discussing this border wall with the Army Corps and with the Interior Department to begin planning a wall along the Mexican border, including how specific environmental laws could get in the way. And you wonder, can this be done? Can this bypass environmental law?
Yeah, I think it really can bypass a lot of environmental laws, because there has been an exemption that was granted in 2005 as part of something called the Real ID Act, and that basically allows there to be waiving of a whole variety of laws and some bedrock environmental laws, the Endangered Species Act, Clean Water Act, et cetera. And so from that perspective, it sounds like if there is a desire to do it, and importantly, if there's funding to do it, that these laws can be bypassed in order to construct law enforcement type barriers along the border. Because of this law that was passed in 2005, it was invoked and used a couple of times during the Bush administration, but it is still on the books and could be used by the Trump administration.
What impact would that have on the animals, the wildlife that cross routinely across the Mexican border?
Well, I mean, in a lot of cases, it would probably be negative if it prevents animals from moving where they want to move in order to find food or to find a mate. You know, these animals don't respect international borders. The ecosystems cross over. And so there are some, you know, very sort of charismatic species like the jaguar and the ocelot, which are found in Mexico and come up into the United States. And clearly, if you built a huge wall, that would inhibit their movements. And it's not only just a wall or a fence or whatever. It's also if there's a tremendous amount of activity, if there's lights and noises and helicopters and drones and planes. But I really should also say that having no border security and having an open border doesn't do any good for some species as well. I mean, when I was a reporter in Arizona, wrote quite a bit about species like the Sonoran pronghorn that were being caught in the cat and mouse game between the border patrol and illegal immigration, and they were really paying the price because there was a tremendous amount of traffic across the border. And so there were also cases of migrants starting fires, which caused a lot of damage. And so if there's no border security and there's a huge amount of traffic coming through and people are setting fires and there's a tremendous law enforcement response, that's not really great for wildlife either. So it's a really tough issue. But it's clear that if you were to build a humongous wall and have a tremendous amount of law enforcement presence there, that it would, you know, inhibit species ranging from birds and bees to, you know, mammals and game species from traveling in the area, just as it would attempt to prevent humans from traveling across the border.
The Department of Homeland Security, getting back to this Real ID Act, something I really had not heard about, but until this came to light, this was, as you say, passed in 2005. Some environmentalists are worried that the DHS could waive more than 30 federal laws in its entirety, and including some of the laws that protect endangered species. That's a subject you know a little bit about after writing a book called Endangered. Do you think it could amount to that many, 30 federal laws?
I think it could. I mean, there were a number of cases where under the Bush administration, the law was invoked. And it's not only for endangered species, it's also clean air and clean water. An important law that could be exempted is the Wilderness Act, because in some places these are areas where there aren't roads, and in order to build a big fence or a wall, you would have to construct roads, and that would go against the Wilderness Act, which is meant to protect roadless areas. But there are also actually other laws aside from environmental laws, things like the National Historic Preservation Act, a whole long list. So it seems pretty clear, and from the legal analysis I've read, experts commenting on it, that if they would like to do this and exempt the border wall construction from these laws, they have the power to do that. Again, there needs to be money to fund the construction, so this is not the only barrier, but it looks like this, in a sense, is a Trump card. that DHS would have to be able to put the wall where it wants.
And this would require congressional approval, I would assume, correct or no?
Well, not to necessarily to exempt, this is an existing law that already has granted that power. But I think the bigger issue is where is the money going to come to pay for this? Trump has said that he wants Mexico to pay for this. I don't know how likely that is, but even if the United States wants to pay for it, that has to go through Congress. They have the power of the purse. Mm. And so it seems to me that these environmental laws, I'm sure, will be the subject of potential litigation if they do try to do it. But it does seem like this is a pretty powerful provision of that law that was passed back in 2005 when, of course, the immigration was even much, much more severe than it is today, which is somewhat ironic. But it was passed in the years after 9/11 with a lot of attention on border security to be able to exempt border infrastructure from these laws.
All right, Mitch Tobin, always a pleasure talking with you and good reconnecting. And where can people find out more about you? C2Snow.com, would that work?
That's right. Yep, that's the website for my consulting business. So I'd invite you to check it out. And thank you again for having me on the show.
Thanks a lot, Mitch Tobin, one of the 24 Buckmaster Show contributors. This afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw. David Coulier, head of the journalism department, will be the guest with Mike on Mike Check, and Ray Allen will be along as well. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9, Talking Culture, 9 to 10. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, with Mr. Chuck Huckleberry tomorrow at noon. Have a great afternoon.